Christopher Media, the Weedsman Podcast.
Cures rickets, polio, conjunctivitis,
AIDS.
AIDS.
Let's just go hog wild.
Begin the car accident. You just use a little bit and you'll be fine.
Yeah, rub it on your car and yourself. It'll fix your car and your bones.
Try this special trick to get out of traffic tickets with Rick Simpson oil.
Rub it on the cop. He'll just go away.
The Weedsman Podcast. Every Friday on iTunes and ChristopherMedia.net. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.
Hey, what's going on?
What are you guys up to?
Oh, a little weed, you know.
Christopher Media presents a Weedsman Podcast production. It's time for The Nugget.
Whoop-de-doo. What does it all mean?
All the random stuff that didn't fit into Friday's show you'll find here.
Okay.
Say, man. Got a joint?
Put a little bit of reefer smell on your boy.
What that mean?
Please give me, just give me
like weed, all right?
So what else is going on, gents?
Do we got news?
Hey. All right, time for bong hits. I don't fucking remember. I'm high. The news. Do the fucking news. Yeah.
One of the greatest fails.
Do that news.
I love that promo. That's hilarious.
So, yeah, big news this week. Alaska, as of Tuesday, they initiated their legalization. So now it is, if you are an adult in Alaska, you can possess up to an ounce at a time.
Nice.
And you can have six plants.
At the same time?
At one time.
Can I have an ounce and six plants?
I think you can have both. It doesn't seem like something that would be...
How about 6 ounces in one plant?
Whoa.
No.
Now you're just getting crazy.
No, that's not how this works.
Alaska State Troopers.
I don't think it's something you negotiate either. So this is just the decriminalization side of it, actually. But they've yet to initiate
sales?
Distribution. Yeah, sales of marijuana.
What about your girl, Charlo Green? Isn't she the Alaskan Cannabis Club or some shit like that?
I'm sure that's still happening.
Can't you go there and buy your cannabis?
Well, it's medicinal.
Ah.
You can. Yeah, you have to have your medical marijuana card to be a part of her club. They were going to have a public celebration, I guess, in Alaska on Tuesday, but it's illegal to smoke it in public, and they were afraid that if they got everybody out and excited about marijuana, well...
They'd get excited about marijuana.
Yeah, they'd get excited about it.
So
the four people
that live in Alaska would get arrested. Is that what you're telling me? They were afraid to all gather in one place so that way they could be rounded up. Yes. All 12 of them.
I guess it's illegal in Colorado to do it in public, too.
Yeah, you can't. It's a $100 fine in Alaska if you puff out in public. So it kind of resembles what looks like is going to happen in Washington, D.C., at least for the short term.
Washington, D.C. has said, fuck off. We're doing it.
That's right.
It's because they have a Democratic mayor, and it's a Republican Congress that's giving them shit.
Mayor Bowser was like, not in my castle.
Yeah.
We voted this in, butt out. No, she... Muriel Bowser, her team put out a press release that basically distills down to home grow, home use. They got shut down on regulating marijuana. So they can't put any funds into regulating it, but they already got the votes on making it legal. So that's what you have, is you can possess up to 2 ounces. You can have 3 mature plants at one time. And it's legal to give away or trade to somebody. Up to an ounce you can give to somebody.
What's that old saying?
Yeah.
And then we're sitting and what we're talking about. And what? Hey, then you can accidentally leave $300 in the couch.
No, no.
What?
If you can just will it to people like that, you can just give it to them, then it is true. A friend with weed is a friend indeed.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I like that.
Yeah, and so there's no more tickets being issued for it as well. Instead of a $25 ticket, cops are going to be walking around with business cards in Washington, D.C., explaining the new rules. Oh, nice. They're going to be giving those out to the citizens.
I thought they were trying to get the hookup. Here.
Yeah. Here's my grow out.
Here's my grow. And how many senators are in a couple hours?
How many senators are pissed? Like, we got weed done before prostitutes. What the fuck's going on? That's probably why they're all pissed off.
Oh, yeah.
They wanted to get legal whores first.
Those are called lobbyists, Chris. Right. Yeah. They are
So, I. A major part of what they're hoping happens in Washington, D.C. with this is that this will replace the black market for weed that is currently ongoing. What they estimate is a $130 million a year business. So that's obviously estimates, but that's what they believe is going down on the black market. And this will get rid of all that. You can grow at home. You can give it to your friends.
Nice.
I'll give you an idea on this. This is a good book. It's about 10 years old now. Mm-hmm. But Eric Schlosser, the guy who wrote Fast Food Nation, he wrote a book called Reefer Madness. And based on the numbers, he was able to get weed is the biggest cash crop, and it's part of three things that are responsible for 10% of the gross domestic product. So 10% of all the stuff that we do here is made up of three things: weed, immigrant labor, and porn. Those are the three things that make up 10% of the economy.
I believe that.
Yeah.
Gross.
It's business. Keep it going, right?
Yeah, just keep Mr. going. Libertarian.
No. Yeah. Crete and cash rules everything around me.
Yeah. Dollar bills, y'all.
Anyway, back to the news. Sorry.
Speaking of the black market and weed.
Speaking of.
Well, we were. There's a guy that, he was originally on Bill Maher's show. I think I brought him up when we went on there. And then he showed up on Adam Carolla's show. Did you listen to that episode, Chris?
Johan.
What's his name? Johan?
Johan Hari?
Yeah.
Hold on.
You're making that up.
Yeah, that's made up.
But yeah, he made some great points in both interviews. He's got a whole book or art. He's got a book about this as well, which I'll admit I have not read yet. But one of the things he talks about is how, if you can't say that...
Johan Hari.
You can't just blame marijuana for crime and violence. It's just the fact that you made it illegal. If you made milk illegal, then you would have milkmen running around killing people and, you know, carving out territory.
Yeah.
Wasn't he talking about how Portugal, where they've made everything legal now?
Yeah.
And, like, all the rates of everything are just down significantly?
This is going to sound like a really bad analogy, but I'm going to use it anyway. Mm-hmm. When you were a kid and your folks told you not to do something, what did you want to do?
Do it every second of every day.
Yeah, so if your folks were smart, if your parents were smart, they would turn it back on you. They would say, well, what do you think you should do? What would be the right thing to do? And then therefore you go, okay, you're right. So yeah. if they were smart, they could turn that against you. So it's kind of the same thing with drug policy, where it's like there's a certain set of people that, because it's illegal, has a certain cachet, and they just want to be outlaws.
They're sticking it to the man.
Yeah. It's a way to rebel.
In some little way. But I posted a story this week about, did you see the thing with the cherry factory in New York?
Yeah, I did.
So the story was, this guy had a maraschino cherry factory, and the DEA busts in, and they find all this money and all this weed behind a wall, and he yells to someone outside of his office, "Tell my kids I love them," and he kills himself.
Yep.
And I posted this story, and a friend of mine said, "Well, that's what he gets.
Oh,
you know, he shouldn't have been running a grow operation out of the cherry factory." I go, "No, you don't get it. You know, this is what happens because of prohibition."
Right.
That's what happens, you know, is people would rather kill themselves than go to jail because they're doing something that is currently illegal, which to me shouldn't be because it's ridiculous.
Right, or there was a story. There's a story about Vietnamese immigrants in the UK being basically kept as slaves to work on cannabis farms. Another thing that wouldn't happen if weed was legal.
I mean, basically anything that you can create an underground economy around, you know, like you were saying, if you made, you know, Wonder Bread illegal.
Yeah.
You know, it's like anything you can build a mass right. around, people are going to do it in that way. So it's like you may as well just put it out in the open and just tax it and regulate it.
It reminds me of this great comic book series called Chew. And it's about a guy who works for the FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, right? And for some reason, I think it was like some disease that got into the chicken or something, chicken is made illegal. You cannot buy, sell, or consume chicken anywhere in the U.S. And so now he's walking around.
They've outlawed cock.
He's walking around strapped. You know, he's got a gun, and he's investigating these black market underground chicken operations. And there's a lot of ludicrous things in the book, but it kind of does make a good point. You know, these things, this behavior follows anything that you make illegal that you have a demand for.
Yeah, and then you end up with, you know, people going to jail, people getting shot on the street, you know, yeah, all that fun stuff.
Lives ruined.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Am I at a wedding?
Yes.
In the Midwest?
Illegal talk.
Yeah,
and then you see stories that try and that really put things in perspective. Like the one that popped up in many places is about how cannabis is 114 times less deadly than alcohol. And it wasn't so much that, just looking, if you actually look at the chart for risk there.
You got to smoke 20 to 40,000 joints.
Let's do it.
Well, what, Colorado just sold 7 tons of weed in the 1 year of legalization?
Nice.
So it was one guy who bought all 7 tons. So,
yeah. Doug Benson.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you have alcohol coming in as the highest risk, even above heroin, cocaine, tobacco,
meth.
Ecstasy, meth. Yeah, meth. I don't know. They've got that pretty high up on that list there, or low down. I mean, it depends on how you look at it.
It depends on what kind of speed you're getting. If you're getting right. the street speed, you know, that's bad. But it's okay for them to give Ritalin to the kids. So right. that's what's the difference? It's still an amphetamine. So there you go.
All right. So much for news.
You know why they call it news?
Why?
Because Olds is a car.
No, not anymore.
Not anymore, son.
There you go. See, it doesn't work. See, I'm not here all week. That one landed terribly.
I get that somewhere.
I do my own sad trombone.
Sad trombone. That sounds like something you got to pay for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sad trombone, $75.
Did you get the link?
Sad trombone is a rusty trombone, and then they punch you in the face.
Oh, damn.
As if a rusty trombone isn't sad enough on its own. I'd be already miserable.
If anyone knows what a rusty trombone is, feel free to tweet at the Weedsman and inform everyone what
Don't
that is.
Don't send us pictures or videos. For the love of God.
All it takes is hearing it, and if you don't know what it is, you're going to Google it, and then you're going to be sad.
First of all, I find that this... I find it's crazy that this link you sent me is from Time Magazine.
Yeah, is it? I said... So Time has on their website a story that is 7 dizzying GIFs, or GIFs as their creator calls them, of spinning cannabis strains.
Ooh. Time Magazine.
That's pretty sweet.
Like I said, when things like that happen, you pretty much know it's over.
Right.
Like we were talking about before with the film stuff, that there's a certain point in the culture when something pops up and then it becomes, oh, you know. That it just becomes accepted.
Yeah,
so
place,
I know. Think there's been enough sort of, oh, well, hey, look at this. Isn't this interesting? And now people are like, eh, whatever. It's been demystified.
Right.
It's now outlaw and rebel anymore. You guys are fucking lame. You're not outlaws and rebels with your pot. You're just a fucking suburbanite dad. That's all you are now.
Great. Well, I'm a suburbanite dad with killer shit.
Yeah. Some of the did you look through all of them?
I'm expecting it to be like the background is weed spinning, and then there's like a pot leak that comes at you, like the old Batman.
Oh man, that would be sweet. That would be way more.
Yeah, a pot leaf wipe.
It's just like buds on like a spinning nail.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
like a diamond or something.
What it is? It's actually just it's this company called Nugshots, and they specialize in this. They have this camera that takes a picture every so many milliseconds or however, and they stitch it all as this thing rotates. And then they stitch all the pictures into a GIF and make it look like it's actually spinning as you watch it. It's kind of hypnotic. It just, you know.
Ooh. You don't even need weed. You just look at weed.
That's right. Right. You just get high watching. There
you go. But you're right. They do need a leaf wipe in between to transition you from strain to strain.
Get that one.
Yeah. Ooh,
spinning, mesmerizing.
Spinning right. Trees. I'm sorry, cannabis.
Hey,
Aaron will yell at me.
I mean, you laugh now, but we're not that far off from you looking at your phone going, I want to get some weed. What's this place have? Pulling up a GIF, looking at it in 360, being able to spin it around and go, oh, that looks cool. I'm going to order that. Have it waiting for me.
Yeah.
I mean, this is the future.
And this is the annoying part of the future.
Yeah.
There's a certain part of me that has a disdain for foodies and like wine connoisseurs and all of that stuff. It's
sure,
just like,
sure.
Really? Come on. It's like, it just gets ridiculous. And mm-hmm. I think the same thing's going to happen with this. And you know, when it does, then you'll know that it's so damn mainstream that, like I said, no one's going to care anymore.
Yeah.
It'll be like, oh, okay, whatever.
So is it, were you hating on us a little bit for being weed sommeliers in the one episode? calling out Rob's weed, like, oh, no, dude, there's berry in there.
Oh, this is very sweet. It has a nice texture to it.
I think if you're going to do that, you have to do it with an outrageous French accent. Well, yeah. As you see, you know,
there's blueberry in here.
This has a very good undertones of a lime and the sawdust.
That's a great...
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, that's the sommelier voice.
You got to put it in the pipe and smoke it.
Oh, man.
It's either that or it has to be like George Plimpton.
Yes, today we have...
Or like Thurston...
This fine Maui Wowie. Yes, it was grown...
You know, William F. Buckley kind of years.
Or who's the guy on right. Gilligan's Island? Who's Thurston Howell the III?
That's right.
Or yeah, Peter Coyote. Grown in the flatlands.
Peter Coyote?
Yeah, when he always does his voiceovers for bank commercials.
Yeah, that's the thing, you know.
You got to do it.
I don't know. It just can get a little ridiculous. You know, it's like, really, do we need like every kind of ridiculousness for everything? Does everything have to have outrageous fan clubs? And,
yes, everything needs to be blown out of proportion.
Action figures and Happy Meals to go along with it. Come on.
That's the American way.
Yep.
So let me get back to the Oscars then real quick. How did you feel about the... some people made some jabs at superhero movies.
What do I think about superhero movies?
Yeah, I'm just curious.
The recent surge.
Nerds!
It's nerds.
I'm of two minds on them. Uh-huh. When they're done well, they transcend being comic book movies.
True.
And I'm a comic
book
fan.
Guardians of the Galaxy.
I like Guardians. It's good.
I had no interest in that other than Chris Pratt was in it. I had never heard mm-hmm. of what it was before, and I saw it, and I thought it was a good movie, which I think is what makes it a good movie.
Well, also, I guess... they were talking specifically about superhero genre movies, but there's been quite a few movies that have popped up that haven't been your traditional superhero fare, but still were based off of comic books. And there's going to be even more of that coming up in the future. Not known products, you know, it's not another Captain America movie, but it still came from comic books is being used as a resource to mine for ideas to make movies out of in a major way right now.
And I think part of the reason for that is that it's already characters that people kind of know, you know.
Yeah.
If you go on the street,
so it's not that they're out of ideas.
No, I think it's low hanging fruit, and it's a lot of low hanging fruit. Meaning that if you went out on the street before the Christopher Nolan Batman movies happened, and said, "Who's Batman? Who's Superman, Green Lantern? Like name me comic book characters." You would probably get a pretty good list because, like I said, these things are in the zeitgeist. I mean, kids wear them as, you know, Halloween, you know, costumes. They mm-hmm. are cartoons we all grew up on. So if I'm going to spend a lot of money to produce a really, you know, expensive film, if I already have a property that people already know, that's, you know, that makes my investment even easier to do than to try and create something from scratch. So I think that's really what it is.
And at what point do you think Disney will just copyright fun in general?
Oh man, the
they got what? But, they got Star Wars. They got Marvel.
Yeah.
What's next? Yeah,
they've been able to hang on to Mickey Mouse, even though under U.S. copyright law until about a year and a half ago when they changed it, it should be in public domain now.
Okay.
Oh snap!
What do you think?
Make Mickey Mouse T-shirts.
Maybe this is oversimplifying it, but it seemed like the attitude of those who have criticized it, criticized the superhero movies as a genre in general, that they're sinking, these studios are sinking all this money and effort into these movies that they know are going to get them a lot of money back, and that's taking away from resources where they could be doing more, I don't know, whatever you might call a better movie that's more a character movie or it actually has some more depth to it.
Well, yeah, if you're a writer
like
right now.
Real human beings instead of superheroes.
How discouraging is it if you're a writer right now? Because it's...
Well, they all need writers. I mean, Captain America doesn't come pre-written.
No, but I'm saying...
He just pulled a string on his back.
As far as somebody who's trying to be a screenwriter and write original stories, it's nothing like that's getting made right now.
No, but I think if you want to talk about original stories, I'll get back to comic books on you because... Well, there was news actually this week. That it was Matt Fraction and Kelly Sue DeConnick are two really big comic book writers, and they've worked both for Marvel, but they've done a lot of independent stuff as well. They just signed a deal to make a movie based off of one of their comic books and whichever one of their other properties they want to do as well. None of these are known superheroes or anything, but this is coming from a medium where they can do these crazy, ridiculous, visually fantastic stories in a format that doesn't cost tens of millions of dollars. And that's like a proving ground for this thing that will, even visually, there's a lot of things that are getting into, that are leaking into movies that aren't based on comic books. The way that they use color and it's little things, like I was watching House of Cards and it's just so commonplace now that if somebody's texting somebody else, this little thing pops up next to them and shows like what they're texting and to whom, like you're seeing a little heads up display of what's on their phone. And that's a small thing, but that's something that I saw in comic books before I ever saw in movies or television.
Well, I think right now the reason why we have the raft of comic book movies is sort of a multi-part thing. One is, like I said, some of these characters, and then they use those characters to introduce others. So there's right. this, you know, there's already a knowledge of the character. But the other thing I think that people are missing in the equation is how the business of film has radically changed in the past 10 years. And what? In terms of home video.
Yeah.
Because home video doesn't exist anymore, and home video existing allowed the mid-range movie to still be made. Because right now, the only things that are getting made out of studios are big-budget action films, which mm-hmm. the comic book movies would equate to,
yep.
and they're willing to spend money on very, very, very small films. We did an interview on the projection booth about a year ago, and he's coming back on the show with us. Is Keith Gordon, who's an actor. You've probably seen him in all kinds of stuff. He was the kid who's Rodney Dangerfield's son in Back to School, and he was the nerdy kid in Christine, the John Carpenter film that Stephen King based okay. on Stephen King book.
Yeah, yeah.
And what he said was that, you know, he had made in the mid 90s, late 90s, movies that were $3, $4, $5 million. And he said, I can't get that from studios anymore. He goes, either they want me to come in and they want to do $100 million big picture, or they'll give you like $500,000. He goes, there really is no mid-range film anymore. And that makes it hard in that way. Why people, like I said, are complaining, like you've heard these jokes, why do you keep making all these comic book films, is because if you're going to spend the money, that's where they're going to see the return. Because they're also competing in a way, like when film went widescreen and film went stereo and color and all of that stuff, that happened because it was competing against television. So the big spectacle film that's with the 3D glasses and all that stuff and IMAX that they want you to go to the theater to see, that's the only way they make the money, because most people today are streaming to their laptops or their TVs or their
right.
BitTorrenting stuff off the internet, and they're not paying for it. So the only way to get any money out of you is to get you to go look at the big spectacle film. Because that's what Because what you can't get at home. Everything else you can get at home. Like, for example,
I know, Rob, it's great. I love it. You don't have to talk to people anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're talking about Boyhood, right?
Yeah.
You know? Like, Boyhood, you could have seen at home. There's really no, like, I'm not saying you shouldn't have seen it at the theater, but the thing is, it's not so visually big that you need to see it on a big screen, you know?
No, Avengers, that looks amazing on a big screen.
Yeah, so that's what it is. It's like, okay, we can make Boyhood, which, people can watch that at home, so there's no market, or we can give them this big spectacle with 3D glasses and all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. They'll go see that at the theater. So as for the actual comic book movies themselves, I have a broad love of all kinds of films. So, you know, I watch a lot of European art film and crazy little independent pieces, but, you know, I like big film. And, you know, but there are certain ones in there that I've seen that elevate beyond just being, you know, a comic book movie, which, for example, The Dark Knight to me is one of the greatest statements on the war on terrorism that's come out in film. So, and it transcends being just a Batman movie.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole thing is about terrorism. I mean, you know, some men just want to watch the world burn, the whole thing with the surveillance state, the rendition where he goes over to Hong Kong and brings the guy back, the whole thing with using all the cell phones and watching where everybody is. It's all about that. You know, it's all over that film.
Man, you guys
September 11th.
You guys watch movies a lot different than I do.
Yeah, they look at them. They have meaning.
That's right. It's like any work of art. You know, it's like music. You know, why does that, you know, you guys are musicians. Why do those lyrics or why does that melody mean something? What are they trying to tell you? You know, so.
Yeah, it's different to everyone because any good piece of art, you are the final piece of it. You as the viewer, the consumer, the listener, whatever your role in it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like the old saying, if a tree falls in the forest, does it make a sound? You know, because there's no ears to receive it. If art just a painting hanging on a wall where nobody can see it isn't art until somebody stands in front of it and gets a reaction from it. Now it's art. That's the final 1% of it.
If you like what we do and you would like to show your support for us, you can donate to Christopher Media by using the PayPal button on ChristopherMedia.net. Please click through the Amazon banner and bookmark the page. It won't cost you anything extra, and when you buy something, it will help to show your support for Christopher Media. If you're looking to launch your own website, please click through the HostGator banner at ChristopherMedia.net. That's who we use to host all of the Christopher Media shows. When you sign up for HostGator by clicking through our link, you are helping to support ChristopherMedia.net. DraftKings.com, daily fantasy sports leagues, no season-long commitments. You can enter free or paid contests and win your share of over $200 million in prizes. When you click through the DraftKings banner at ChristopherMedia.net, you'll get a free first-time deposit bonus when you sign up for DraftKings.com.
Idaho, man, Idaho can suck my dick.
Making that general statement.
Yeah.
It actually sounds like
fuck Idaho.
Like it would.
Because if we go in order, that would be next in our states, and I don't have anything to say about it. It's like
potatoes.
Can you have weed?
You could smoke out of a potato.
No, you can't have shit. They don't have medical. They
a delicious break from potatoes.
Oh, we didn't talk about Leonard Nimoy. You brought him up.
Yeah.
And I derailed you.
Leonard Nimoy?
Yep. Nimoy.
Come on now.
Leonard Nimoy.
I know, right.
Leonard Nimoy.
You know, you're going to let the body get cold before you massacre his name?
Space, a final frontier.
There you go.
Okay.
How many are left?
These are the voyages
of Kirk.
He was the first of the Enterprise to pass. Yeah.
To explore strange new worlds. To seek out new life.
Star Trek in general didn't really do much for me ever.
No man has gone before.
But Leonard Nimoy was he was still really cool to me. He was the only reason why I watched any Star Trek episode, probably. And I loved In Search Of. That was like one of my favorite shows as a kid.
That's probably where I know him from first. Was that on Nickelodeon?
No. That was...
There was some show that he was on Nickelodeon, and that's where I first knew him from.
On Nickelodeon? What would that
be? I don't remember. I don't think it was on there.
Yeah, I don't...
No, he...
I mean, this was like a pseudoscience show that he did, and right. It was like, you know, episodes on Sasquatch and Atlantis and stuff.
Yeah, the shit that would keep me up at night.
I don't know.
I was like 8 years old, and they're showing some blurry ass.
No, I was younger than that. I was younger than that.
Like a Loch Ness monster.
Right.
Look at it, it's Nessie.
Yeah.
But yeah, and then my dad mentioned, oh yeah, he's on this Star Trek show too. And then I have some cousins and a former roommate who fucking would be just shaking their heads at you guys right now. Well, you know, Brandon.
Oh yeah. Big time Trekkie.
Oh, Trekkies?
Oh, yeah. You guys are like, Leonard Nimoy, big deal. You know, they're still mourning right now.
Yeah, they're taking a knee, T-bowing it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He was Jewish. They're sitting Shiva. They got a candle going, a little memorial. <That's right. laughs> They're in mourning. They're sitting Shiva.
See, so Leonard Nimoy died when? Yesterday? So it's quick funeral. We were talking about this last show. Quick funeral. Like, he's in the ground right now.
Yeah.
Like, you got to get it done by Saturday night.
Oh, that's right. He's already been ejected into space.
Yep, in the torpedo tube.
Uh-oh, watch out. You know, he was more than just, you know, the Star Trek stuff, because he was also an artist and photographer.
Yeah, that's true.
And he was a director. He's responsible for that Three Men and a Baby movie, which is actually a remake.
Really?
Of,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he directed that.
I did not know that.
That's his fault.
Now, mind you, I was still like, I think maybe 10 when I saw that movie. I loved that movie.
I remember that pretty well.
I thought that movie was fucking hilarious. That in the midst of our
sorrow. Yeah. So, I mean, he was a director. He did all kinds of stuff. So, you know, and... He actually found time to write that baby book. Beloved comrade. No, I'm just kidding.
Right.
There you go.
There you go. There you go.
Forgot the instructions. So.
That's right, raising Arizona.
Yeah. Of my friend, I can only say this. That is like still my
always,
favorite comedy.
You know the thing that's funny about The In Search Of? Of all is I love that reference in the Tenacious D song. That was the first thing I thought of, actually, when I heard Leonard Nimoy died. Was the Sasquatch song.
It's in the
lyrics. Okay. In Search Of with Leonard Nimoy, kicking out the jams, yeah.
I actually, the first thing that came to mind, I have to admit, is the episode of The Simpsons that he was on. He was on a Treehouse of Horror where he would... He would narrate the scenes in between, and then he leaves before the end of it. And I think the janitor has to sit in for him.
Groundskeeper Willie,
and he's like, "Keep watching the skies. I mean skies."
I unfortunately thought of his the recent Big Bang Theory he did when he was the voice of the Spock action figure.
Oh, nice. I thought of this scene. There you go. And they shot him out of the torpedo tube.
There you go. He's been shot into space.
Yep.
Billy already made his speech.
And then he becomes another planet.
Yeah. He blows up Alderaan.
Yep.
We've had a lot of people on the show. We never had him on the show, but we did have Alex Rocco. And you might know who he is. He's a character actor. He was Mo Green in The Godfather. He's on the massage table, gets shot in the face.
Oh, okay.
So Alex Rocco was on with us. He's on our Detroit 9000 episode. And he's from Boston and told us stories of in the early 50s, him and Leonard Nimoy being in the same like acting classes together and certain particular things about their early time together. So he's like, they kind of grew up together in Boston, which is funny. So he had a couple of good stories on there about Leonard Nimoy, but sadly we never had him on the show. Although we did do a Star Trek movie. We did Star Trek 2, Wrath of Khan.
So,
if you're a Star Trek fan, that's the better one.
That's the one.
The sequel's better than the first movie.
Oh,
and that's
for
a
sure.
Rarity.
That's at the end.
That one have the things in the that they put in their ears?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the little bugs and the...
Yeah.
Ah! They start screaming and grabbing their heads.
Fucking freaked me out so bad when I was a kid.
They have the tweezers to pull them out, and they shoot them with the taser.
Oh, no.
They'd scream at the end.
My brain itches just from you saying that.
Yeah.
Your boy, Billy right. Shatpants.
And Ricardo Montalban is the villain.
Ricardo Montalban, that's right. It is the Chrysler Cordoba.
Hey, with Kirk.
The in leather.
Do you hear them?
He did an album, too.
He used to do the Leonard Nimoy. Yeah, he did.
I have one of his on vinyl.
Oh, nice.
We were very sad when the Ballad of Bilbo Baggins didn't show up in the fucking Lord of the Rings movies or The Hobbit. It's like, get in there. Have you ever heard this thing?
No.
That's your smoke track this week. There you go.
Yes, oh, nice. Yes, there's this
thing is so damn trippy. It'll make you laugh your ass off. Oh. You know, the follow-up to that are Bill Shatner's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds and then Bill Shatner's Rocket Man, followed by Chris Elliott riffing on Bill Shatner doing Rocket Man.
Oh, here we go.
Oh, and now in stereo.
Yeah.
The middle of the earth.
Oh, this is weird. The two sides of Leonard Nimoy, and it shows him from one profile, and he's got the ear.
Spock.
And then from the other profile, he doesn't have the ear, but he's got the exact same fucking haircut with like little points and everything.
And he's smiling. He's so happy.
Well, you know, he never smiled really as Spock.
See, that should have been in the Lord of the Rings or the Hobbit movie. Come on.
Right at the end, in the credits.
At the final movie, like he whips the ring into the volcano and they all break out dancing. Yeah. Come on, everybody, we're going to get laid.
Just a huge, like, siege lifts up out of the volcano.
That should be the end credits.
I
bet you the songwriter who sold this song too was probably like, oh my god, I sold this song. Yes! We're on Easy Street now.
We got Nimoy singing it. We got a good band behind him. He sounds great.
Bravest little hobbit of them all. Well, he fought with the goblins. He battled a troll.
Wow.
With Gollum.
You did this, Rob.
A magic ring.
Thank you, Rob.
You're welcome.
He was chased great. By wolves, lost in the forest.
He does some other covers on this, doesn't he? What's the track listing look like on there? Can you read that?
No.
It's catchy, isn't it?
It's under his head.
Get
there.
The head rocking.
What does it say?
It's all blurry. I can't read it. Was this a bassoon solo?
Love
you don't get too many of those.
Standard fare for the day.
Little hobbit whom we all admire, just sitting on a treasure of silver and gold, puffing on his pipe in his hobbit hole. Bilbo Baggins, he's only 3 feet tall. Bilbo,
I don't think we could pick a better smoke track. Jesus.
This is great.
Bilbo, here you go. Bilbo Baggins. Here you go, Spock. That's for you.
It's his second.
Like I said, at the end. If you really want to freak people out and continue on this Star Trek theme, Bill Shatner's Lucy in the Sky with Diamonds is pretty awful. His take on Rocket Man.
Oh, yeah. His Rocket Man is classic,
yeah,
isn't it?
Rocket Man
classic. And then if you watch and listen to the Rocket Man, do yourself a favor and type in Chris Elliott Rocket Man. And Chris Elliott on Letterman does a riff on it, and it's just hilarious. It's the funniest riff you'll ever see.
Yeah, he does. Leonard Nimoy does If I Was a Carpenter on that same album.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
Very strange.
Yeah. I'm amazed you guys had never heard that.
No.
This is very exciting, ladies and gentlemen. An old friend of ours has dropped by to be on the program and perform something very special. He's going to be performing his
Chris
dramatic
Elliot.
Interpretation of Elton John's classic Rocket Man. So, please... sit back, enjoy, and welcome the star of Fox's Get a Life, Chris Elliott. Chris!
Dave Letterman, big brown hair.
Oh, look at that.
That's in a tuxedo.
Which is exactly what the cigarette and everything like Shatner on that video.
She packed my bags last night.
Pre-flight. 0 hour. I don't know. I think it was about 9 a.m. I didn't look at my watch.
Oh, man.
And I'm going to be high. Oh. As a kite. By then. Oh, I miss the earth so much. I miss my wife, too. Lonely out here in outer space. Such a timeless, timeless. Mars ain't a place to raise a kid.
Yeah. No, in fact, it's cold as hell.
And there wouldn't be anyone there to raise little boogers. If it did.
This is the third one.
I think it's gonna be a long time till touchdown brings me around. I'm yet to find I'm not the man they think I am at all. No. I'm a rocket
man.
Running out of fumes out here all alone.
Accented nicely with the hip thrust.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time.
We get three of them. One of them. They all fold back into one.
Long, long time.
Oh man,
that's pretty good.
There you go.
What does he do now? Anything? Just collect checks,
Elliot.
Yeah. I hope.
He did series four Adult Swim called Eagle Heart.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I remember that.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
He's been writing books and doing a few other things. He was on with us for Cabin Boy. And we talked to his writing partner a couple times, Adam Resnick. Adam Resnick was last on, and he also was on Letterman at the same time, writing with Chris Elliott. He was on for Death to Smoochie because he wrote that script. We did that in December.
Oh, did he? I love that movie. Yep.
That's a great movie. I enjoy that movie. It's a dark-ass movie.
I've always been a big Chris Elliott fan, so it was a total, like, you know, honor to have him on the show like a year and a half ago to talk about Cabin Boy, and I got to get all my Get a Life questions answered because I remember watching that when that was on, and that was just awesome. I mean, that was like Adult Swim and all that crazy shit like 20 something years before they started doing that. I mean, and that was on Fox Network. I mean, it was weird, you know. There was really no model for that, like crazy paperboy sitcom. It's all absurdist.
Yeah.
What's back when it was risque to be on Fox? They had The Simpsons.
Yeah, they were cutting edge.
Tracy Ullman and Married with Children.
Still didn't find an audience there. Cops. How long did that show last? Like one season?
Lasted two seasons. And I remember in Detroit it kept getting preempted and they'd put it on like 1 a.m. So I had to keep setting the VCR to tape it. It's like when I was sleeping.
After Showtime at the Apollo.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's why.
But before Mass for Shut-Ins.
I think that's a major reason.
It's 4:35 in the morning. You're watching Perspectives.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
That's a big reason why I can't get into football at all as an adult, because as a kid, it was nothing but something that would be on in place of whatever the fuck it was that I wanted to watch. You know? And you'd sit down and go, oh, there's like only 5 minutes on the clock. I'll just wait it out. How long does a fucking 5 minutes take?
Hour and a half later.
Exactly.
Yes. No, there's going to be no Dukes of Hazzard tonight, as it turns out. And you're going to go halfway into the A-team.
What was even worse was the president. President's on. Well, fuck, nothing's on.
State of the Union address. Thanks.
Is it every fucking channel.
I was watching a movie recently from 1985, and it had the character in a hotel room, and the sign-off was on the TV with, you know, the American flag and the national anthem, and then it goes to a test pattern. And I go, if you showed that to a kid today, they would not know what the fuck that is.
Yeah, we are probably...
Holy shit.
Because TV is always on. Like, stations do not go off the air at like midnight or 2 a.m.
Yeah, right.
And I remember that panic when I was a kid.
Yeah, we are probably the last age group that can remember that. And we're in our mid to late 30s now, and we're like the younger. Right. We're on the young end of that, but we're probably the last. I remember Nickelodeon used to turn off.
Oh, at yeah.
7 p.m. That was it. Have a good one. We'll
now,
see
anyone ya. Not broadcasting now, you're assuming the station is blowing the fuck up.
Right.
Yeah. The world is coming to an end. Holy shit, there's no TV.
But speaking of Fox Network, when it started, you know, this was Tracy Ullman and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. It was only on Saturday. Well, first it was only on Sunday. Remember, it used to only be one day a week. And then it was Saturday and Sunday. And then once, like, The Simpsons got going, then it became its own thing. And it was on all the time. So it's just odd to think, wow, man, things have changed like that. You know, like videotapes. And records and
videotapes
exists anymore. It's all in the ether.
Well, Rob St. Mary from the projection booth every Wednesday here on the Christopher Media Network, projection-booth.com. Any updates on the book there, Rob?
Yes, book is rolling. I'm doing the final design edits. Comes out September 1st.
Now, there you go.
And I think Mr. Chris there is more excited about me being a soon-to-be published author than my own mother.
Hey, I like seeing my friends do well. What can I say?
I just hear it every week because I listen to the show. So it just makes me laugh when I hear it.
Right on. Thanks for joining us for this episode.
No problem.
And for everyone out there, until next week, stay high.
Stay high.
Stay high. Oh, Rob, come on. You can do one.
Throw him a stay high.
Stay high.
All right. Well, thank you for listening, liking, and sharing the Weedsman podcast on Facebook. And thanks for all of the new followers on Twitter at TheWeedsman420.
Thanks for the support.
You can subscribe to the Weedsman podcast on iTunes for free by clicking through the iTunes banner at ChristopherMedia.net. Android users can find this show on Stitcher Radio. And I think we've agreed that's the way to go for Android.
It's either Stitcher or the podcast app. Right, the Apple devices. It's the only two I use.
You can now listen to a new episode of a Christopher Media show every day of the week. Sundays, M&M Question Everything. Monday and Thursday, you have Unregimented. Tuesday, you get the Weedman Podcast Nugget.
The bonus nugget.
Yeah, it's a little extra. And it prepares you for the big show on Friday. Sometimes on Tuesdays, you get the Toddzilla X-Pod. On Wednesdays, you have the Oddcast with Jenna and John. You also have the Projection Booth with soon-to-be-published author...
Yes.
Rob St. Mary. Mike White also. He has books on Amazon. Go check them out. Last year, 2014, a lot of big things for the Projection Booth. They were recognized by the AV Club.
Yeah.
Indie,
what was top it? Rated podcast.
IndieWire.com. Check them out on Wednesdays. Saturday, we have the Captain's Table finishing out the week.
If you enjoy this show and want more people to know about it, head on over to iTunes, leave a comment, and rate it 5 stars. Make sure you like and share us on Facebook, and don't forget to follow us on Twitter. Just search for Christopher Media. Thank you in advance for supporting Christopher Media by clicking on the PayPal button and by clicking through to all the sponsors who support ChristopherMedia.net. Most importantly, we would like to take the time to extend an extra special thanks to you. Christopher Media could not exist without your support. Thank you for visiting ChristopherMedia.net, and thank you for listening. Christopher Media. Let's make some noise.